Hello and welcome to The Talking Show on K-Chung Radio.
That's right.
Downtown's best.
That's right.
Micro-broadcasting radio station.
That's
right. My name is Steve Cato.
And I'm Nicholas Miller.
I'm here with Nicholas Miller. Except we're not.
That's true. We almost had him there, Steve.
Yeah, we almost convinced you that we did the show in the studio. Did we not? Yeah, we had them going. It's funny because, you know, this is the very first time we've ever done the show from two different locations. Well, not this time, but like this coronavirus period.
This is the very ninth time we've done the show from.
This is the very ninth time. Oh my God, that is a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the very tenth time, I think.
This is the very tenth time. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I think the ninth time is I've yet to update our blog, but I think it's. I'll do two of them at once. But yeah, no, it's. It's funny because normally, you know, we've been doing this in the studio this whole time, so it is quite strange just uploading it to the server, etc. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder what the K-Chung studio even looks like, what it smells like now.
Ooh, I hope they left that window cracked. Maybe all those pictures that Solomon's posting on Instagram of growing mushrooms are actually in the K-Chung studio.
Right, like it's just all mushrooms now.
It's just some moldy, mildewy, mushroomy mess.
Oh, God. Like The End of Society, have you seen that movie?
No.
Oh, I recommend it. It's not like a. It's like a, at the intersection of teen sex, like teen erotic thriller. You know, like a Wild Things or what's the other one I'm thinking of with the pool scene. Maybe that is Wild.
That is Wild Things, yeah, with Denise Richards.
Yeah, but like at the intersection of that and early Cronenberg body horror.
Oh.
But in a definite, like a very definite San Fernando Valley vibe.
Excellent.
Definitely not, you know, definitely set in a place where like teen drama sort of thrives. So yeah, I strongly recommend it. Let me know what you think of it when you see it.
I mean, it's going on the pile.
it's called Society, so there's lots of reasons to want to watch it.
Oh wow, the only erotic thriller written by Theodore Adorno himself. I shall call this new work Society.
Yeah, it's called The Authoritarian Personality.
yeah,
starring Michael Douglas.
You got to think of like, because they always have the posters have like a kind of really cheesy double entendre line, mm-hmm. you know, that come with them. We got to think about that one for the Teddy erotic thriller.
What would it be?
You know, like, jeez.
Meaning is always a spiral around.
Oh no, we've got it. It's perfect. Fun is a bath in steel.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote it. He already wrote it for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's
all fun is a bubble bath in steel.
Oh man, that's more of a T-1000 sort of. that's. I feel like that's more of a Skynet sort of theme.
I watched one last night that you'll like, not because of your lust for rock thrillers, but because of your passion for movies and their portrayal of Los Angeles. It's called Color by Night or Color of Night, starring Bruce Willis.
Oh.
And he's a psychoanalyst based in New York, and he kind of prods one of his patients, and she, right in front of him in his office, jumps out of the window.
Ah, shit.
And she's wearing this bright green dress, and when he looks down at her, you know, like the pool of blood spreads from her body surrounding the bright, you know, the bright green, this beautiful bright green against the red. And then before your eyes, as a viewer, the red turns to gray And so he develops this affliction where he can't see red or green. He has red-green color blindness from this experience. And so, as one does when they go through traumas in New York, immediately goes to LA to see one of his friends.
Yeah, still happens.
Yeah, who runs.
Happens to this very day, yeah.
Who he, and his friend is, you know, they went to grad school together as psychoanalysts. And he comes upon his office and he has this, like, you know, gorgeous, like, late 80s postmodernist office in Santa Monica or something.
Like all red and green.
And just, no, but just like totally wacky furniture. Like he has that big, baseball glove chair and all this kind of stuff for the people to sit in, his patients to sit in. And he does a Monday night group with particularly troubled people. And he asks Bruce to sit in on it. And then, you know, it all kind of unravels from there.
Huh. Yeah, I saw a Bruce Willis movie. I saw 12 Monkeys.
Oh, yeah, because you were going through the pandemic films?
You know, I put them all sort of like... I've been doing such a good job of stockpiling media, but I'm not doing a good job of watching media. You know, I don't have time, really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that works. Like, I don't do a lot with my days, but I don't spend a lot of time... I don't feel like I've got a lot of time to watch a whole thing. It feels like asking an awful lot to watch a movie. But yeah, we watched 12 Monkeys. It's actually an awfully good movie, I think. I guess it's tough to mess up the Chris Marker source material. But there's so many things about that period of like the late 90s as well, where like some things were just accepted. It was like, you will have this Astor Piazzolla tango music. Like, this is just totally acceptable. Like, there's just, like, all the time accordion music, you know? Like, and, like, that's like, a way that you would have a movie about these topics, you know? Like, and, like, Brad Pitt's really good in it, and Julianne Moore. I don't know. Everyone's really good. It's like, surprisingly watchable. It looks great. You know, all the like wacky practical effects and stuff are all the Terry Gilliam tubes and shoots and stuff like that are like, you know, and then like Terry Gilliam himself is just like literally his like brain has turned to mush since then. You know, yeah. Like you kind of wish that you were like, oh yeah, he's still good, but like apparently not.
I have been puzzling over this, watching a bunch of 80s and 90s thrillers that, you know, like so many of the actors I don't know. And so I look up and their Wikipedia page is just like a case study and, you know, kind of fall from grace. And it just seems like an industry that does that to absolutely everyone. You know who I saw recently and looked up and was shocked to see the condition he's in now is Val Kilmer.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, the whole like Christian Science... throat cancer denial thing. Oh my goodness.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I've just seen pictures of him. He looks awful.
Yeah, apparently he invested almost all of his money into a ranch in Utah and then got hit pretty hard by the subprime market crash and had to sell off big parcels of it, which I'm sure financially is still fine, but anyhow, that was traumatizing. And then he became a Christian Scientist and you know, after that developed throat cancer, and so was in complete denial that he had throat cancer for a long time and wouldn't seek treatment, and eventually was treated for it and now has to speak through a tube in his throat. Can't act anymore. Although he has written and produced I think what he hopes will become a movie, but right for now is like a traveling theater show.
Good luck with that in these times.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. It stages a fictional meeting between Mark Twain and what's the name of the woman who founded Christian Science?
Oh, yeah.
She has like a triple name.
People's, yeah, exactly.
But anyhow.
Susan Butler Lawson or something. You know,
sure. So it stages, I guess they were contemporaries.
Yeah.
And it stages a fictional meeting between those two.
He remains interested in Christian Science, even though, you know, they were wrong about throat cancer.
He still denies that the treatment saved him. He thinks it was his prayers.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic. Yeah, because you can't prove it wrong.
True. And he, I guess, speaking of Michael Douglas, Michael Douglas also has throat cancer.
Yeah.
And I saw an article a few days ago that he said in the media that, you know, he was suffering from throat cancer like his friend and former co-star Val Kilmer. And Val Kilmer wrote a response saying that it was a lie and that he has a sore tongue.
Wow, that's just incredible. I have always been puzzled by Christian Science, because it's like there's like a wing of Christian Science that is like a reputable journalistic outlet, like the Christian Science Monitor,
mm-hmm.
right? Which, like, you know, like what they go to, like that's how you get news. There's a place where you can get news from Africa and stuff like
right.
that, right?
Right.
And they don't necessarily monitor science, you know, is the other thing, like. It's the Christian Science, Monitor. But, like, do you know anything about it? It's something I have never looked into or looked up.
You know, until I read the Val Kilmer news, I had not thought about it in many years. But I definitely ran into people growing up in Texas who were part of that. It doesn't seem to be prevalent in this part of the country.
They have many beautiful buildings.
In LA?
I think there's a beautiful Christian Science temple, you know, of Christ the Scientist or whatever in Pasadena. There's a beautiful one in Hollywood. They're all over. They're in all the spots. There's, you know, one in Los Feliz, I think. There's like a very, I feel like they're in my mind because there's a beautiful one in downtown Austin. Because they often have these great locations, you know, it's a lovely building in a nice part of town, and you're like, wow, you know, look at that beautiful Christian Science temple.
Hmm.
The most famous example, right, is Jim Henson. I guess that's the one that comes to mind.
Okay.
That's why he didn't get blood transfusions, and that's why he died.
Jeez.
Yeah. I know.
I prefer the Frank Zappa route, just no doctors. Not because I think he just neglected to get checkups or something.
Well, I think to be honest, I think it's because it's hard being a musician.
Yeah,
you know? Like, and it's hard. And as much as he was a big deal, he didn't have very many big sellers. And every time he would put a band together, it would have 20 people in it.
Right.
You know, it's not a recipe for immense wealth.
Right.
Doing Frank Zappa. So I imagine a large part of it was just he had tons of kids. I don't think he could afford to go to the doctor for prostate cancer all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Or to go for, so he just, I didn't know that either. So he just never went.
Apparently. But you know, I mean, who knows what actually happened?
Huh. Well, you know, and he was a clean living guy. He was certainly not a Christian Scientist, though, right? That's definitely not the case.
No.
Just
busy, as you say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably just a private healthcare got him.
Right. But, it'll take us all.
Fingers crossed, I guess. But, yeah. Huh. So you don't know anything about I guess we have this knowledge through popular culture that Christian Science is about not going to the doctor.
But I don't know, say Mormonism, that has a quite pretty fantastical origin story about, you know,
yeah,
finding the stone
tablets
and this kind
and
of stuff.
Angel Moroni and the extra planet.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a golden beaker that was discovered in a laboratory or.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay. So you don't have more insight into it than I do.
No, not at all.
I wonder. It's interesting because it's like you say, it's not one of the things you hear. People really getting. You don't hear a lot about it, I guess. They're kind of under the radar. So I wonder how they got Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Scientologists are out there trying to get you.
That's true.
You know, if you're a rich guy, Scientology is out there trying to get you.
Whereas it seems like most of Christianity, at least in this part of the world, is just an answer or a solution or something to feeling of alienation or despondency or something like that, right? Like I don't get asked to join a church.
Well, you're probably just hanging out in the wrong parts.
I guess sometimes there's people handing out pamphlets
to like the center of ball, you know, the Hollywood, the satanic Hollywood machine, you know, like you're, I'm pretty sure that there's like large tracts of land near me where like literally anyone would just ask me to come to church.
Yeah. Like if you had just a regular job in Austin, your coworkers would kind of nibble at you to
be
come.
Like, oh, I had just started going to a really great church. You should come by, you know, like for your church going need, for your presumed church going needs, you should
right.
try this one out, you know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, I imagine that like there's people, you know, or like every now and again you would get like some guy outside like a Subway would try and hand you like a Jack Chick tract or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being like, this cartoon is about how shopping is evil.
Right.
And you would put it with all your funny Jesus stuff.
You've got a folder.
I do have a folder.
Labeled really funny Jesus stuff.
Yeah, kind of, you know, yeah, geez. It is funny. I've been going on, I went on a nice long bike ride in sort of outer South Austin, now actually outside of Austin, peripheral communities like Menchaca and Buda and such. And, it was nice. I saw like cows and stuff and livestock and peddled by many fields. Where was I going with this? Oh yeah, but you also drive by many of these, went by many churches.
Of course.
And some of them that are like more in the center of these towns are like quite gaudy. You know, like they were clearly built in like the 60s to look like what to me looks sort of like a cross between like a giant plantation house and like a weird octagonal steakhouse or something like that, like totally. But then but 5 stories tall, you know, or 5 stories high or something like that, like a house, but it's gigantic, you know,
right?
And octagonal for some reason, but still kind of like a plantation house or there's those, and then there's ones that are just like that just look like a community center, and all of those have names like Point Prayer Space or something like that, you know, and I'm like wow, okay.
Yeah,
Prayer Quest.
Yeah, my uncle is involved in one of these, like as a founding member of one of these churches in Dallas that is the, you know, self-proclaimed own sect of Christianity.
Mm.
It's called Heartland, I think.
Oh, I've heard of this. It's big, right?
I mean, their particular church is big. I've only been there for a funeral, which, you know, other than it being a funeral and very sad, I just found myself staring at. They had one of those plexiglass rooms for the drummer.
Yeah.
You know, so he can really jam out, but it doesn't, you know, deafen the audience or screw up the mix.
Yeah.
I love those little things. Yeah.
As a drummer, I find them demeaning. But
I bet. it's like a gerbil wheel for the drummer.
Yeah, but acoustically, I do see the point, because if you want to have like the church have a wide open space, and that is an invitation to just screw up the drums. I mean, it's actually an argument against rock music in churches. I think that's maybe more.
Yeah, that's
true. You know, it's like if you have to keep adding the stuff, like the spaces like that with reverb of that kind are designed for something else.
So you should just
go for it, you know?
When the people our age start making their own churches in Texas, will they have like a Eurorack zone? Because they'd be like, we got to update it, so.
You're fooling yourself if you think that's not already happening.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
Like no, it's obviously happening. You know what I mean?
Christian Eurorack, that would be fantastic.
Christian synth ambient. Yeah, no, that's totally happening at like Prayer Zone, Synth Church. You know, like come by on the weekend, and we got several great new modules. You know, and a youngish pastor will like you know, explain how this voltage divider really helps him to like get a beautiful warble.
You know, I guess even the way that those musics manifest here in LA, it's always sprinkled, like lightly sprinkled with Eastern philosophy or religion. So right. it's just like, you know, when these people start having kids or something.
There's like, you know, all those private press New Age records, like some of those are very thoroughly Christian. Like, I think like Peaceful Solutions or something like that. One of those groups is like entirely, you know, Emerald Web, were they Christians? Because like some of them are like, yeah, like, you know,
there's a lot of dragon stuff in that one.
There's like weird theosophists and pagans and all this other stuff. But like, you know, there's people who are definitely like prosperity gospel, you know, Yamaha DX7,
mm-hmm.
like, just gonna fully FM synth this thing out for Christ. You know, and then there's like Iassos, who's like, awaken your primal witch woman inside. I will teach you the magic of, you know, extending your yoni through synthesizer music.
Right.
Come, you know, I'm feeding a deer out of my hand. You know, like it's there's all different kinds, but like definitely like in the 80s and 90s, those guys definitely existed. And in the, yeah, you're kidding yourself if it's not like, if there isn't already a fucking Eurorack church. And like maybe, oh, and maybe there's other specific things where they're like, yeah, we don't use make noise modules. They are ungodly.
Right.
It's come to our attention that the guy from Make Noise has rejected Christ. So right. we do not use make, we use only Pittsburgh modular.
made by good Christians.
ALM, Pittsburgh modular, or like people we don't know anything about. Yeah. So it's like for one reason or another, they just cannot have like a maths unit or something.
Right. That's the devil's music.
That is definitely the devil's function generator.
Only satanic numbers come out of that one.
Yeah, literally everything is divided by 6, 6, 6. yeah. No, but I'm sure it's... look at how quickly Christians built skate parks to attract young people.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, if they feel that, if, like, the sort of, like, New Age synth stuff is, like, attracting enough yuppies, you know, like, if that's, like, because people, you know, like, and a big part of being interested in New Age music is just, like, not wanting to deal.
Right.
You know, like, if no enterprising Christian denomination has seen this yet, they're way too dumb, you know?
Well, and that the bourgeois forms of relaxation from the generations before us were much more unhealthy, like
right.
steaks and martinis and
yeah.
this kind of thing.
Getting sunstroke on the golf course. And,
exactly.
Right. Driving your golf cart drunk into the sand trap and stuff.
Right. Whereas like some yeah. juice and like a Yassos record blasting out of a nice turntable. That's a, or not blasting, playing it at a totally reasonable volume.
You know, or indeed like, in some sort of crystalline architecture.
Sure.
You know, like pumping it out of like a sick modular unit. I bet this is one Google search away. I bet, but to be fair, also the other part is that like, no one's doing any worship now. It's verboten.
Not together.
No singing. Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, I've been doing a fun synth thing. Our air conditioner in the studio got replaced. It died. It was on the verge of death the entire time we've been here. And the plan, I think, ultimately is to put in mini splits and stuff. But that takes an amount of work, and they're going to do that. They've sworn that they'll do that when we're gone, which only makes sense. It would be inconvenient to have us here and have to like pussyfoot around all our stuff while you install a bunch of air conditioning stuff. And it would be annoying for us to have like guys installing stuff and, you know, ripping stuff out of the walls and stuff. So I get it. But as an interim measure, because I think it would be inhuman to not have an air conditioner. It's already very hot in Austin, listeners. They put in, you know, the air conditioning company was just like, oh, we took this one out of someone's place that was acting up. We'll just put it in. It'll only have to be here for like a month
mm-hmm.
before we're gone. And then we'll take it out and put in the new stuff. And it is unbelievably loud.
Ooh.
But because it's, you know, it's loud in a regularized way. So it's kind of like a drone.
Okay.
And so I've been, just jamming out with it because it's like, it's right outside the window of my studio. So if I want to sort of endure the heat of the day, of the afternoon, I have to kind of have it on some of the time. And so, like, if I, you know, like, tune a bunch of synths to it, then it's kind of like, oh, I'm, like, having, like, a Paulina Oliveros sort of, you know,
amazing.
Like, deep listening experience. and it's neat, actually, because the intonation warbles a little bit. Like, it does, it's, like, a pretty interesting sound, even though it is, like, also quite annoying. And so, like, the challenge is to just find the way to jam along with it. And I have to spend a long time tuning every time it kicks in. You know, like, getting my hands on the fine tuner to... But, yeah, so I've been just enjoying this, like, endless drone to the air conditioner. It's been great. It is actually, like, I've learned a lot. And continue to learn a lot about all the different ways you can do drones and make drones more interesting. And there's like a LFO sort of period in the air conditioner thing. So like what I can do to sync up to that period, what I can do to like create like an opposing wave in my own thing, so create sort of like a phase situation. You know, it's been very enjoyable.
We had Paulina Oliveros' deep listening, and now we have Steve Kato's air conditioning.
You know, was it Lamont Young or one of them who was like, who started getting interested in drones because of growing up near a power transformer?
I'm not sure, but I think of my friend Micah, who's a musician and composer's definition of music is just moving the air. Which, you know, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
But
no, it's true.
So you're just conditioning. You're conditioning the air.
I mean, the air is being conditioned, and then I move. Well, it's also moving the air too. You know, it is. It's
exactly.
Not a, it's not. Wow, that's great.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And like, and I was thinking about it also because I've made all this work about heat and, you know, thinking about sort of like the differential sort of hotness and coldness of things and then sort of symbolizing that in the technology that sort of stands at the intersection of those, of hotness to coldness or coldness to hotness. And, you know, now actually like dealing with the thing itself, you know, in person and having to like, combine that. Oh, also, actually, this loud air conditioner is beautiful.
Ooh.
It's like a very weird rectangle shape, and the fan grate on it is sort of like, I guess it's like a hexagon? But it looks kind of like the Korean flag, you know, where there's like a circle in the middle, and then like the Korean flag is like the I Ching lines emanating out from it, but it's sort of arranged like that, but it's they're just lines, it's not the I Ching, but it's a trip. It's very beautiful looking, so I've taken many pictures of it, I've made many field recordings of it, because it's also nice because like at night when it's humid the woods behind the house sound sort of like the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like a lot of stuff going, there's a lot of creatures back there doing stuff and making noises. And it gets better as night goes on. So I've been enjoying listening to that and trying to field record things like of that nature because it is just so incredible sounding. And then, you know, add to that sort of the joy of listening to this air conditioner now. And listen to the air conditioner in the context of listening to the jungle sounds of South Austin.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't know. I think it's going to be a great little synth record, me and the ear. The music for the very loud air conditioner.
Air conditioning.
Yeah.
Air conditioning has like a 90s new age record kind of title name to it.
Be a good name for a record label.
Air conditioning, yeah. That reminds me, you know Benny Rice? He's a sculptor, lives in L.A.
Oh, yeah. I went to Irvine with you, right?
Yeah, he's still there. Yeah. Moved to, I think, Fountain Valley, I think is the name of the town. Which is where
that's the town that my family owns.
Okay, well, there you go.
My extended family owns Fountain Valley.
He's paying his tithings to the Catos.
Yeah, the Catos. They didn't change the name.
There's a wonderful fries there. Because you know that the one.
Oh, right. Is it the surf one with the sort of like the little microchip guys wearing board shorts?
No, it's the Ancient Rome.
Oh.
Yeah. Which
the one in like Thousand Oaks is very depressing. The Alice in Wonderland one. That one really sucks.
I haven't been there.
Oh, sucks.
But anyhow, Benny, I saw his recent work, you know, 6 months ago or something. I don't know if you've seen one of his sculptures before. They're very complex.
Yeah, I have.
And so it's always fun to ask him. They usually come from these very simple inquiries into, you know, appliances and things like that, and how he imagines they work. So this one, of course, you know, you look at it and it's like a kind of small chair with like a Sylvester the cat getting torn to shreds in the middle of it, and like, you know, all sorts of bips and bops moving about. And so, you know, as a viewer, you're like, well, I have no idea what inspired this. But it turns out he lives in, or used to live before he moved down to your territory, in the same building as Lindsay Salazar, across from Winsome. And I guess when Winsome, that restaurant, opened up, every morning they'd start cooking bacon at like 5 a.m. and it would just blow. The blowers would blow right into his apartment window. And when it got hot, he needed one of those air, you know, kind of air conditioners that you just shove the thing in the window and seal it off. Mm. And so that would suck in, somehow would suck in the air. And he would just sit there watching this thing hum, this air conditioner, while trying to keep the bacon grease smell out. And this was his sculptural interpretation of what was going on inside that machine.
Wow.
So two of my friends making work about air conditioners.
Dang. Well, Benny, I hope to see you again someday.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a great show. You know, the LA artists currently making work about air conditioners.
I mean, you know, it can't be any worse than the group show that's just the same group show all the time.
No, I think it'd be a good one.
Yeah. You know, try it out.
It would be great, like, if LA culture, LA culture just got locked in, like, you're talking about the same group show over and over. It just became like the air conditioning artists, like that. That became the new thing.
Yeah, if we just took over, that
it's
would be
no longer about, like, you know, ancestral heritage from oppressed countries, but rather like your infatuation with air conditioners.
Oh, it's never been about that. It's just always been about sort of like semi painting.
Yeah, sure.
I don't feel like the ancestral trauma thing is really overwhelming. I feel like it's like, you know, if you eat your veggies, institutions sort of need to do that to like justify the frivolity of like one day showing Alex Israel.
Fair enough.
It's like, yeah, for every like one Iranian artist they show, there's like eight, you know, sort of just like, this is about like a guy who wears sunglasses.
Right.
You know, which is great. I fucking love wearing sunglasses. it feels so good. Yeah,
you feel invincible.
It's true. I mean, like, especially actually, I had to make a promise today when I went to Central Market to not wear my sunglasses inside. But I like...
Who did you make the promise to?
Meredith, because when I wear polarized sunglasses inside, I can't tell if vegetables are rotten or not.
Okay.
It turns out that's a thing that's easy to confuse visually with polarized light. So I I had to swear to my spouse that I would not just blindly go pick up whatever. The other point is in general, it's you feel so powerful just wearing your sunglasses inside with a mask on, a hat. I wore like long sleeves too. It was just sealed off from the world. No one can tell what I'm thinking or doing. Feels great. It's like a whole new me. I feel like I used to enjoy chit chat so much, and now I'm so suspicious of it. And I reject it so.
Steve Cato is safer at home.
I suppose that's true. It feels very aggressive being outside still, I have to say.
That, I think, is the tagline for the Adorno erotic thriller, Safer at Home.
Safer at Home. serialize this. Anyway.
The authoritarian personality, Safer at Home.
Yeah, well, apparently it is like being enslaved to be made to socially distance, so to not be allowed to go to Applebee's
or Marie Callender's.
I've never been to Marie Callender's, but I understand that it's the experience is delightful.
They got some mighty good pies there.
That's what they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And typically, do people go to Applebee's for the drinks? Or, which is why I love Applebee's. I love the $7 Applebee's martini. It's like, about half a pint in size. It's just the best. It's a fantastic thing for $7.
I don't know, but we should go when you return and when we can leave the house. We should go to a place in Pasadena called Conrad's. Which seems to me to have been, you know, back in the time when it's like perhaps the kind of restaurant that Applebee's was based on.
Mm.
Like it's the
Applebee's.
Yeah, it's the one and only kind of sleazy 72 item menu, darkly lit bar family restaurant thing. But it is the one and only Conrad's that I think exists.
You know, and you wonder if Conrad was like working on his restaurant in the hopes that he could become the next Appleby. Like he had gone to college with John Appleby. And it was like, any minute now, I'm going to get that guy who's going to help me set up the franchises and I'm going to cash out huge.
Right.
And there's just only one Conrad's.
Or maybe it was like the McDonald's franchise. Where you know the guy came in and swooped it mostly because they had a good product and a good name. Because his name was Croc, and like, you know, get a burger at Croc's, that just doesn't really quite work.
Yeah,
doesn't sound at all American.
A very Florida sounding name.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, who knows? I wish we knew.
Someday we will.
Someday we will.
Well, until that day, good morning, Chinatown.
Good morning.